It's good to be here this morning. I have a weird, I'm not sure what it is. I'm like super dizzy these days, so I'm going to sit down. Is that okay? You'll survive? It's not okay? Then it might be more entertaining if I stand. I actually was thinking about it. I think it was about 6 or 7 years ago was the last time I came here and I spoke. Does anybody remember that? Remember exactly what I spoke about? Because I don't. I have no idea. At that time, I had like this major bandage on my hand and I was supposed to keep it up above my heart. So I stood up here with a bandage on my hand. And this time, I guess I should not come here anymore because whenever I do, I get something weird happening to me. So, anyways, it is good to be here. I'm Trevor. My last name is Berg. For those of you who are Mennonites, that's probably important, if there are any of you. Church I'm from, over the last almost 4 years ago, we got involved. Everything okay? Yeah. All right. Thank you. There's a group of us who went to the Point Douglas neighborhood. Does anybody know where Point Douglas is? Ah, yeah, we got quite a few. Good. So for those of you who don't know, if you start at Maine and Portage and you head north down Portage, you go under the bridge just after Higgins. There's a little train bridge that you go under. And then North Point Douglas is on your right-hand side right after that. And that's where our church is. We had this awesome gift given to us of a building in that community, and we started a church there. And we've been there almost 4 years. And a couple of the guys who are from the church are here with me, and we want to sing you a song. But over those 4 years, things have kind of, it's been a crazy few years. It's been a lot of fun. Met lots of new people, lots of great people in that community. It is a community that has its struggles for sure. There's lots of people who struggle with addictions. There's lots of people who have struggle with mental health concerns. There's lots of people who don't have a lot of money. But sometimes in a community like that, that's what we focus on, right? We just say, oh, here's my community. It's got all these bad things. But that community is also a really great community. And I've learned a lot from this community about how to be a community, how to actually care for each other, how to look out for each other. It's the kind of community where people know each other. When you walk down the street, you meet people that you know, and they talk to you. They stop and talk. And they're not in a big rush to get everywhere, from here to there to everywhere, like you might find in some communities. And so it's a really beautiful community as well. And so I just love being in that community. I love what I get to do. And I love the people that I've met over the last few years. And some of them have become some of my best friends, and two of them are here today. We want to sing a song for you. Why don't you guys come on up? We want to sing a song for you. It's called I Saw the Light. Has anybody heard of that song before? It's written by a guy named Hank Williams. And he had quite a life. Maybe you know a little bit about his story, but He wrote this song, and I think it was basically a bit of his story about how he came to know and how he met Jesus. And maybe, I don't know about you, but sometimes it seems like there's some people out there, and you look at them and you say, that person will never change, right? And maybe Hank Williams was one of those guys. And then in this song, it talks about how he saw the light. And so it's a great song. Are you guys ready? Right. I should actually introduce these guys. Over to the right there, that's my friend Kevin Schumelak, or you can call him Shoes. sort of behind me over here is Harley. What's that? Oh yeah, he said hello.
So, we love to play this song. Well, two of us love to play this song. We won't tell you which one doesn't. But it is a little bit more of a country flavor, if you're into that. You're welcome to clap along, sing along if you know it, and we'll try and give it a try here. You ready?
All right. It's a good song, isn't it? It gets you going anyways, right? Gets you pumped up. There's something special about when change happens, isn't there? But have you ever met somebody where you were like, and maybe you've known them your whole life, and you're like, that person will never change. Does anybody know somebody like that? It feels like you know somebody like that, where it's like, nah. Somebody says, hey, there's hope. They're going to change. And you're like, I don't know about that, right? Do you ever feel that way about yourself? Oh, I will never change. That part of me is always going to be like that. I think most of us kind of feel like that sometimes. And I think when you think about that song, that Hank Williams song, I think a lot of people said the same thing about him. He's never going to change. I don't know his story enough to tell you how much he changed or what all happened in his life, but I know that people can change. Actually, you know what? I don't even really know that people can change. I know that Jesus can change people. And sometimes it takes a miracle for someone to change, doesn't it? You look at them, and maybe it's the people that you think will never change, and you think, it's going to take a miracle. Hey, Jesus specializes in miracles, so maybe they will change. Maybe there is hope. Maybe you can change. Maybe there is hope. This song talks about the blind man who was blind from birth. He's referring to a story in the Bible. And Jesus changed him and gave him sight. Man, if Jesus can give somebody sight, can't he change someone? There's a story in the Bible about someone who literally saw the light. And it's a story about a guy named Saul. In fact, his name used to be Saul, but he changed so much that his name got changed to Paul. Now Saul used to be crazy, right? He used to be mad, angry, evil. He hated the new Christians. There was this new group of people traveling around, and he hated them. They were changing things to the things that he didn't want to be changed. And so he started hunting them down. And the Bible says that he even helped for some, at least one of them, to be killed. This was a mad, angry man. And if you look in Acts chapter 9, we're going to look there, we're going to read through there, you'll find out that Saul, maybe he could change. Let's see what has to happen for that to happen. So it says at the beginning of chapter 9, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. Man, this guy starts out good, right? This is a guy, and everybody's probably looking at him and saying, this dude is scary. We got to stay away from Saul. He went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. So here he is, he's trying to get permission to hunt down and put into jail some more Christians. All right. As he neared Damascus, so this is what he's doing. This is where he's on his way. He's on his way to Damascus to hunt down and put people in prison who are Christians. And guess what happens? As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? So here he is. He saw the light. No more darkness. No more night. But the light came with a voice. And it said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Whose voice is it? Oh, he asked that question. Verse 5, who are you, Lord? Saul asked. And the voice says, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Was he actually persecuting Jesus? I guess so, right? Jesus said he was. But he was looking for people who were followers of Jesus. But Jesus feels so closely tied to the people who follow after him that when they get hurt, he hurts. That's how much he cares about us. Those of us who follow Jesus. I am Jesus who you are persecuting. Okay? Can you imagine you're going down the road and you're about to take, you think you're in the right, right? He thinks he's right or else he wouldn't be doing this, right? He's trying to do this, to do what's right, and he comes down the road and all of a sudden this voice, the light and the voice comes and says, hey, why are you persecuting me? Now get up, this is what Jesus said, now get up and go into the city and you will be told what you must do. What do you think Saul would do? Any guesses? What's he going to do? He's going to change. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. Okay, so he wasn't by himself. He was with a whole group of people who were going with him to arrest Christians. And they're like, what in the world just happened? They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So at first he saw the bright light. Now he can't see anything. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. It was a shock to his system, right? He's trying to figure out what to do. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called to him in a vision, Ananias. Yes, Lord, he answered. The Lord told him, go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias. Come and place his hands. He has seen a man named Ananias. Come and place his hands on him to restore his sight. Lord, Ananias answered. He's heard of Saul. I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your saints in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name. He's like, Jesus, really? I'm supposed to go to this guy? Like, I heard he was coming, that's why I'm hiding, right? Now you want me to go see him? But the Lord said to Ananias, go. In my Bible, it has go with an exclamation point. Maybe in these days, if it was a text, it would be like all caps, go, right? This man is my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles and their kings and before the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. Oh, my word. Here's Saul, the guy who came to arrest us. And Jesus is now saying, he's going to be my chosen instrument to carry my name before the Gentiles. Wow. Something's got to change, right? So then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he could see again. He got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. So Damascus disciples are kind of like, okay, maybe Saul's going to be okay. At once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. He came to Damascus to arrest the people who were doing that. And now he's the one doing it. How about that? And all those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't he the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on his name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Christ. A little while later, Saul goes back to Jerusalem. And there he finds more believers who are questioning whether he's safe to be around. But Saul changed. And his name changed to Paul. And he became one of the greatest evangelists, one of the greatest church planters ever to live. Started all kinds of churches. And most of the rest of the New Testament is written by him in his letters to the churches that he started. This wasn't a super young guy. This was a man who was respected. And here, his life changed like that. So, this is an interesting story. Who changed in this story? Anybody yell it out? Saul changed. Okay. Was there anybody else who changed in this story? What's that? Ananias. Yeah. Ananias, he had to change too. He got a vision as well. That was pretty nice. But when for Saul to change, I was looking at it, it took like two sentences from Jesus. For Ananias to change, it took a couple paragraphs of words directly from Jesus. Then there's a whole group of other people who didn't get any message directly from Jesus, who now they're supposed to accept Saul, Paul. They had to change too. So we had Saul changing. We had Ananias, a longtime believer, seemingly. Couldn't be that long because Jesus hadn't been around that long. But we got Saul, we got Ananias, and then we got a whole bunch of believers in Damascus, and then more in Jerusalem later. Some people are waiting for the light, the flash from God to change, aren't they? And maybe you will get that light, that flash from God. And it will change your life, and it'll be this amazing moment. But most people in this story didn't get that. They had to be convinced by other believers that Saul was okay. They needed to change their hearts towards Saul. And I think most of the time, that's how we need to change. We maybe won't get this big flash of light and lightning. Maybe somebody will just say something, and we'll have to say, "Oh, I think you're right." And I don't know what needs to change in your life. If I did, it would be kind of fun to sit up here, right? I'd be, "Oh, so-and-so needs to change that. Oh, he screwed up." Yeah. But usually we like to see what other people need to change, don't we? And we kind of put our blinders on to what needs to change in our own life. So my question today is, if Jesus appeared to you in a flash of light today, what would he ask you to change? Would he say, "Kevin, Kevin, why do you persecute me?" Like he said to Saul? He wouldn't say that to Kevin. But what would Jesus say to you? Maybe Jesus would say, "Good for you. You're a good and faithful servant." Maybe Jesus would say, "You're a good and faithful servant. There's something that needs to change." Now, the nice thing, the great thing about Jesus is he's great at taking people who seem like they will never change, people who seem like they don't deserve to change, and making them something new. In fact, Jesus believes in that so much that he was willing to die for it. Jesus was willing to die for Saul, the one who persecuted him. Jesus died for him. Jesus forgave Saul, and Jesus changed Saul. So sometimes in a message like this, we can sit there and we can feel guilty and we can say, "Oh, I got to change. There's something in my life that needs to get better." But the beautiful thing is that Jesus offers us grace. Jesus offers us forgiveness. Jesus offers us mercy. And wouldn't it be great if we saw that in our own lives, or if we saw that in other people's lives, and we didn't hold against them all the things that are going wrong in their life, and we just had hope that Jesus would change them, and we prayed for Jesus to change them, and we did our part like Ananias did to help them change? Wouldn't it be great if we had hope in our own lives that things could change? It's pretty fun to work in Point Douglas for me. One of the reasons I say that is because I know a lot of people who are really honest about their struggles. And that's what it takes. It takes us being honest and facing our struggles in order to overcome them. So what do we need to be honest about today? What do we need? Where do we need Jesus to work in our lives? Don't lose hope. Jesus can pull miracles. Don't lose hope for yourself. Don't lose hope for others. Jesus can change me. Jesus can change you. So let's have hope in that. Sound good? All right. I'm going to pray. Lord, we thank you for your hope. We thank you for the example of Saul, who was so strongly against you, and yet you changed him and used him. And I pray that we wouldn't lose hope in ourselves, that we would find you and find the change that you're offering us, find the forgiveness. And I pray that we would bring people to you so that they can experience your love and joy and peace and forgiveness and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.